following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hello, Refuge Family. Tuesday fireside chat, and it's going to be David Taylor. It's going to be his last fireside chat. Not his last chat, not his last sharing with you, but fireside chats are wrapping up this week, and we begin something brand new on Monday, July the 6th, which will be Refuge Daily, and of course, David will be part of that rotation, but today we get to hear a timely word from him. Really quickly, before I turn it over to him, just want to let you know that tomorrow night is our Courtyard Concerts Resonance outside. It's been really nice. We've only done it once, but last Wednesday was amazing, probably the best ever. Love to have you join us. 6:30 officially starts, but you can arrive an hour early. Taco cart, coffee kiosk should be up and running by 5:45. Bring your own beach chair, beach blanket. Get comfortable outside in the fresh air, and we'll have a great time of worship and special music and a message and fellowship. It's going to be great. No need to RSVP for that either. And also tomorrow, we will actually have that big structure of fireworks stand in the front of the parking lot. That'll be open officially starting tomorrow. So I wanted to let you know about that missions enterprise that they are taking on to fund missions. So good stuff happening, and good stuff happening right now. So take it away, my brother.
Thank you, Alan. As Alan said, if you guys either didn't hear him or don't know me still, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at Refuge, and I am really excited to be able to share with you guys something that the Lord spoke to me. I think it was only a couple of days ago, so still very fresh in my mind. Let's open up our time in prayer, and then we will get after it. Father, we thank you that you are a God, as we were just praying this morning with some of the staff, that you're a God who's in control. You're a God who is king always, Lord, regardless of what we face, regardless, or especially, I should say, in those times where we feel like, man, things are out of control. You're a God who is in control. And Lord, we thank you for that reality. Lord, be with us, speak to us, convict us if we need convicting, comfort us where we need comforting, Lord. Ultimately, we just pray that you would shine light upon your scriptures and help us apply it to our lives today. So we love you, we thank you, and we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, a couple of days ago, I was in my devotional time with the Lord, and I just recently started the book of Acts again, and I'm sure you guys have read through Acts many times. I have as well. And I say this almost every time I do one of these, but God is so faithful to speak to you, sometimes even in a unique way, while revisiting some of the passages that you know very well. And God is so cool to do that. And there was a specific section of scripture, but really one verse that grabbed my attention. And I would love to share that with you guys. But for the sake of not pulling something out of context, let's read starting from Acts chapter 4. And the verse that we're going to focus on is 13, but I'm going to start at the beginning because we need the context here. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1 says this: "While they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them, because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them, took him into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, or their rulers, elders, scribes, assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them. 'By what power or in what name have you done this?' Verse 8, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Now, all of that is amazing. All of that is amazing. Here is the verse that God spoke to me on. Verse 13, check this out. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now, just a little more context. You're like, a little bit more? Yes, a little bit more. This right here pertains to what happened in the previous chapter, in chapter 3 of Acts, essentially where Peter heals this disabled man. And we know from Scripture that this man was disabled or crippled from birth. And so as Peter and John, they're walking to the temple, it says the time of prayer, this man sees Peter and John and he says, hey, can I have some money? Paraphrasing here, obviously. Can I have some money? And he gets a little bit more than he bargained for, right? He doesn't get money, but he gets healed. He gets the ability to be able to walk, something that you and I maybe don't think twice about, right? Because it's something that we do every single day. And so chapter 4, what we just read, starts up, or I should say, picks up with a group of individuals from nobodies to somebodies. There's just a lot of people there, and they're all upset, all having this big fit over what Peter did. And so they question him, and we read that. By what power or in what name have you done this? Right after they ask this question, Peter starts bringing just gospel truth. And so after Peter is done preaching, it's the response of those who opposed Peter that interests me so much. I want to read verse 13 again, and we're going to read that verse probably one more time after this as well. Verse 13, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They are amazed at what they heard. They are amazed at seeing the boldness of this Peter, understanding that both Peter and John were uneducated formally. They didn't have any formal training or education like some of these other, you know, leaders did. I can imagine that conversation. Like, how are these untrained, uneducated, smelly fishermen speaking with such power, conviction, boldness, authority even? Like, where are they getting this? It says the rulers, the elders, the scribes, high priest, all the members of the high priestly family, as well as some others, all of them were amazed. Some translations say they were astonished at what they saw, at what they heard, and the manner in which they heard it. This is the point that I want to focus on. This is the point where God, as I was reading through Acts, kind of stopped me in my tracks and wanted me to listen a little bit more. I want to read it. I believe this is my last time I'm reading this. Verse 13, one more time. I want to see if you guys catch it. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. The way Peter and John had been living, the way they had been walking, the way they've been speaking, screamed to the world around them that they had spent ample time with their Savior, Jesus. Right now, it is summer. It's an interesting, weird, different summer with COVID and everything that's going on. But one of my favorite things to do every single summer, regardless if I'm staying at home or if I'm on vacation, is going to a bonfire or a campfire, right? Actually, this would have been the week that I would have been up at camp with the high schoolers, and so the nights would have looked like that. We would have been gathered around a campfire worshiping having discussion. I love being around campfires and bonfires. For those of you who have come to Refuge over the past couple of years, you've got to experience our beach nights that we had done. And there's something just so sweet about gathering around, talking, fellowshipping with the Lord, with one another, eating all around this bonfire, all outside. Well, let me tell you something that you guys know all too well, right? You never really know how bad you smell, meaning how smoky you smell, until you go home or until you get in your car and you enter into a situation where it's not as smoky as the bonfire was. You know what I mean? So you go home, you take off your clothes, you put it in the dirty clothes, you take a shower, you got to shampoo your hair like 13 times, and you steal wool instead of like washcloth to get the smell completely off of you. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. Here's the point. It's unmistakable. You were around a bonfire, a campfire. You could try to tell people you weren't, but you smell, you reek of smoke. The same is true, hopefully not many of you can relate to this one, but the same is true when we decide to be brave or maybe something else and eat a dish that's a little too heavy on garlic or onions. You know what I mean? If somebody could smell from a mile away, that dude has had way too many onions, right? That guy needs to tone it down on the garlic a little bit, right? It's unmistakable. You can tell when somebody has consumed that kind of food. This is the truth that stood out to me the other day as I was reading through the book of Acts. Our witness to the world should be unmistakable. It should be completely unmistakable. Peter and John, they lived their life in such a way that people knew they had spent time with Jesus. It wasn't something people had to go dig deep for. They didn't have to go looking for it. It was on the surface. They were immediately met with Jesus when they saw and heard these men speak. And it's not just that Peter and John and the disciples spoke about the gospel or spoke about Jesus, but their lives reflected the reality of this gospel message. It impacted far more than their mind, and it penetrated to the heart, and then they would walk it out and they would live it out, especially in opposition, right? God desires for us to be powerful witnesses for Him. He desires for us to be beacons of hope and light that really just point people back to the source of hope and light and love and all that is good. Here's the beauty of all of it. God will never ask you to do that by yourself. I find that so comforting, and I pray you find that comforting as well. He doesn't say, hey, David, I got a task for you, and I'll see you on the other side, buddy. High five, boom. You know, that's not our God. He says things like, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I keep going back to Psalm 23 where He's our good shepherd, and even in the presence of our enemies, He has something there for us. And even if death is surrounding us, we don't have to fear because our good shepherd is with us at all times. God calls us to abide or to remain in Him, to walk in the power of His Spirit, and doing so would produce fruit which glorifies our Father. Here's the question that I want to leave us with. Here's the question that I need to wrestle with myself, that I believe every believer needs to wrestle with. How is our witness today? Not yesterday, not a month ago, not when we were the most on fire, whenever that was. Hopefully that's today. But how is our witness right now? When people hear me speak, here at Refuge, not at Refuge, with my family, when I'm by myself, when I'm driving, when they hear me speak, do they sense the heart of God? When they hear you speak, do they sense God's heart? When people hang out with me, do they see something, or do they see Jesus in me? When they hang out with you, do they see Jesus in you? Do they see His love? Do they see His patience, His compassion, His heart for the lost, His heart for the stranger and for the outcast and for the people that society has kind of written off, right? Do they see His boldness, His grace, His truth? Do they see that in us? Right now, in light of COVID, in light of this season of political tension that a lot of us are feeling, in light of massively different ideas that are just clashing right now, how is our witness? And I obviously can't answer that. That's something that all of us need to seek the Lord on. And so if you guys would right now just join me in prayer and ask the Lord to search your heart as I ask him to search mine as well. Father, we thank you that you are a God, again, who is in control always. Lord, as we look around and as we see everything that's been going on past couple of months, there's a lot of, let's just say there's a lot of room, Lord, for your light to shine. And we are called to be light, Lord. We are called to be, as I said, I think the last time I was up here, we're called to be imitators. We're called to be people who imitate you, Jesus, who bring light to darkness. Not us bringing our own light, but bringing your light to those situations. God, I know every single person that is tuning in or that's hearing this or that's watching this, you know, days later, we all have areas or spheres of influence that we could impact. We all have areas where we could be a witness for you. Jesus, would you help us with that? Would you help us be people who truly die to ourselves, step out of the way, and allow you to take the driver's seat, allow you to take the leading role? I'm reminded one of those songs by one of my favorite artists. He has a song called I Can Play the Background. And Lord, would you help us play the background and allow you to take the lead in our lives? Help us be, as a church here at Refuge and just as a church in general, help us be strong and bold and courageous and loving and compassionate in our witness, Lord. We thank you that you don't leave us alone, God, but you are with us every step of the way. Be with my family today, Lord. I know you will. We love you, we thank you, and we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, God bless you, Refuge. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.